بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله عز وجل في السر والعلن، فإن الله يحب المتقين. وقال الله عز وجل: ومن يؤمن بالله يهد قلبه والله بكل شيء عليم. وقال عز وجل: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ثلاث من كن فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان: من كان الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما، وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله، وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه البخاري. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. On the most precious gift of Iman, the perfect, pure and absolutely compassionate teachings of the Deen of Islam, in which there is every form of goodness, success and inner peace and contentment in this world and everlasting success in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala furthermore, through His infinite grace, has made us in the Ummah of His beloved Habib, our most beloved Sayyiduna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we try and recite salawat, Durood Sharif, in great abundance upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on a daily basis, and especially the night and day of Jumu'ah. For indeed that Durood Sharif is presented to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the name of the reciter. And what an honor it would be that even if once in a lifetime Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responds to the salam of the reciter. Last week we had looked at the great ni'mah of Iman and Islam in light of circumstances in Gaza, Palestine, deriving lessons from the famous journey of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu an, when he went to Jerusalem to receive the keys of the city without a fight from the Christian leaders. On seeing his fairness, his justice, they happily handed over the keys of the city to Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, and the famous statement Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu an made when his generals and officers had come out and noticing his simple patched clothing covered with stains of mud when he had went through a puddle, and asked him to change into something more luxurious or more pompous. The famous statement of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that is worthy of being inscribed in gold in the heart of every Muslim blessed with the ni'mah of Islam, that you were the most downtrodden, the most degraded and humiliated amongst humanity, and Allah Ta'ala has given you izzah and honor only and solely through the deen of Islam. The moment you search for honor and dignity anywhere else other than Islam, Allahu Azza wa Jalla will humiliate you. Gaza is known as Ardul Izzah, the land of honor and dignity. Essentially, whatever is transpiring, almost 20,000, most of them women and children, martyred in the name of Allah Ta'ala, only for standing up with the light of Islam, refusing to capitulate, choosing to die a death of martyrdom than a life of humiliation. These are words very easy for us to say, but they live it and experience it. And the amazing quality Allah has blessed them with, of being happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, no matter what the circumstances, not a single word of complaint, embracing even more passionately the deen of Islam. And this is indeed a great ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal. The hadith quoted in the opening khutbah from the Bukhari Sharif, the narrator is Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu an, the khadim, the attendant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was extremely beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that a person who has the following three qualities will taste the sweetness of Iman. A person who has the following three qualities will taste the sweetness of Iman. Halawat al-Iman, sweetness of Iman, is a ni'mah and a favor that all the world's wealth put together cannot buy. It is that relish, that natural joy and pleasure or enjoyment a person gets in some or the other form of ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Sweetness of iman would mean that a person performs salah, truly considering it, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the coolness of my eyes, our peace and comfort, and not a burden. When spending, as with the Ansar radiallahu anhum, fully understood such joy and pleasure in parting with wealth which sometimes is naturally beloved to a person, with yaqeen and conviction that that which I spend in the way of Allah Ta'ala is far more beloved and precious than that which I retain and keep with me for myself. Halawatul Iman would mean the joy and the ecstasy of love for Allah Ta'ala at the time of Tahajjud Salah, when most people are asleep, the deep love and communication with Allah Ta'ala. Halawatul Iman would mean the severe thirst or hunger being experienced while fasting for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And as our brothers in Palestine say commonly, that for us it is a win-win situation no matter what. Imma nusrah wa imma shahada. Either the outright help of Allah Ta'ala, as we see happening presently, the Zionist oppressive army in Gaza never expected what has happened to them there. Just yesterday they announced, a day after saying that their special forces, the Golani Brigade, is in control of certain areas. Yesterday announced the removal of those troops for the reason that they have incurred heavy, heavy losses. So do not take what the Western media put across in doctoring, trying to create hopelessness in the Ummah. In the stance of the people of Gaza, there is great hope for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the person who has the following three qualities will taste the sweetness of Iman. Number one, that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to that person than anything and anyone else in this world. That the most dear and beloved to a person, the most important thing that matters under all circumstances, is that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be happy with me, and nothing else that contradicts that matters to a person. Number two, that that person loves another. For example, our parents, wife, children, relatives, fellow believers. There is no ulterior motive. That love and that friendship and that compassion is also only for the happiness and the pleasure of Allah, because that is Allah's command. This is a very, very high quality, that you love a person only for the pleasure and the love of Allah Ta'ala and no other ulterior motive. And thirdly, appropriate for our discussion, that that person despises losing Islam just as much as that person despises or hates being thrown into a fire. Any one of us, if a huge fire is lit and it is said that we will throw you into this fire alive, we know how much we will detest and hate that. More hateful to that person is to lose Islam and go towards kufr. May Allah protect our iman. More hateful to that person is to lose iman and go towards kufr. This is indeed a very, very serious matter. The loss of iman in Islam is the greatest calamity that can ever befall a person after having been blessed with it. You know, when you study the books of fiqh and there are discussions around the chapter, in a pure, proper Islamic state, the injunctions pertaining to a person who, na'udhu billah, becomes murtad, leaves the fold of Islam openly, what are the injunctions? The fuqaha, the jurisprudence in this matter, are so considerate and so wary that when they merely write the name murtad who has left Islam, they put a side note under it, وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah Ta'ala protect from that ever happening to any person. So we find in these three actions, and one of them, the love and the passion, yaqeen and conviction in Islam and its every teaching. There are other ahadith, sayings of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, that gives us other means of attaining the sweetness of iman. Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a Sahabi whom himself, his father, mother, Hazrat Yasir, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu anha, the first martyr in Islam, underwent great persecution and torture for the cause of Islam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once passing, the entire family were being persecuted. صَبْرًا آلَ يَاسِرٍ مَوْعِدُكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Be patient, O the family of Yasir. You are guaranteed our meeting place to be in Jannah for what you are tolerating in the name of Islam. So he mentions Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, some other means of the sweetness of Iman. Al-infaq min al-iqtar. Spending when a person is in dire financial difficulty with the limited and very little means that person has still to spend from that little in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Number two, بَذْلُ الْعَدْلِ مِن نَفْسِكِ, that to exercise fairness and justice even against your own self when dealing with others. If in a matter the other person is correct and right on the truth, to wholeheartedly acknowledge it and give a decree in that decision, even if the truth and fairness and justice counts against a person, that is sweetness of Iman. And number three, الْإِقْتَارُ مِنَ الْإِنْفَاقِ وَبَذْلُ النَّفْسِ وَبَذْلُ الْعَدْلِ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ وَبَذْلُ السَّلَامِ لِلْعَالَمِ. Making salam common to every person, those we know, those whom we do not know. Making salam common is a means of increasing muhabbat. The person who initiates and makes salam first when two people meet, Allah Ta'ala purifies that person from pride, from arrogance, from haughtiness. We find similarly further examples of the sweetness of Iman. That Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the most learned among Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, says that the person will find sweetness Iman in the following three qualities. In the following three will a person find sweetness of Iman. Tarkul mira'i fi haqqin. A person is in an argument, in a dispute against another. You said and I said, and the argument is going on and getting heated. And a person then says that even though I know for certainty I am on the truth and haqq, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala to forsake that argument, even though one is on the truth, that is sweetness of Iman. Furthermore, وَتَرْكُ الْمُزَاحَةِ فِي الْكِذْبِ, that leaving lies, or تَرْكُ الْكَذِبِ فِي الْمُزَاحَةِ, leaving lies entirely, even in jest, in joking, in making fun, a person completely refrains and abstains from any kind of falsehood, even in joking and jesting. And number three, that is also mentioned in the hadith, one of the means of sweetness of Iman, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in another hadith, that which has befallen you, has come to you, was never ever going to miss you. Some difficulty. We cannot say had I been a few seconds earlier or later, it would not have befallen me. It was decreed, it was meant to happen. To know this with yaqeen and conviction, and to know that in it is goodness for me, a means of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, and that which did not come to you. We may have had hopes, all things in place, in the hope that something will come to us, the deal will happen, I will meet, whatever it is, and it transpires that it does not turn out as we had wished. What was not meant to come, was never meant to come to you, to believe with this, with yaqeen and conviction, is from the sweetness of Iman. Another sign, another means of getting the sweetness of Iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna nadrata sahmum min siham iblis masmum." The gaze, the wrongful gaze cast, a person is not permitted to look, a male is not permitted to look at a woman. On the first gaze, unintentionally and inadvertently, it is overlooked. The importance then is to lower the gaze and not look again. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that wrongful gaze is an arrow from the poisoned arrows of Iblis, detrimental, poisonous to a person's Iman. And so that person who forsakes and lowers the gaze for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala rewards that with the sweetness of Iman. Now the hadith elaborates it. Allah Ta'ala gives that person the tawfiq of some form of ibadah, whether in tilawat, in dhikr, in sadaqah, in serving one's parents, in showing love, compassion within the confines of Sharia to whom we are commanded to do so. A person will taste the ecstasy and the sweetness of Iman. Dhikrullah will become sweet on the tongue. As our beloved Ustaz Hafiz Rahman Mia Rahimullah would say, love the Quran so much that it becomes like food for you. So on lowering that gaze from haram, Allah Ta'ala will give that person the tawfiq of an ibadah, that one will find the sweetness of Iman in it. So we have so many examples to understand with yaqeen and conviction the beauty, the perfection of Islam. And these days, there may be many temptations, whether it is Christmas, New Year. For Muslims, we have our full, complete identity in our manner of expression of happiness, of sadness. These are traditions finding their roots in paganism. One cannot say that I will adopt them and give it an Islamic flavor. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, the Ansar radiallahu anhum ajma'in were celebrating 2 days. They continued it in Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what is this? They say, we used to celebrate these days pre-Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no need for that any longer. Allah has given you two much better days, the 2 days of Eid, in which there is genuine happiness, joining of family ties. And in that happiness, one does not become drunk to the negligence of Allah Ta'ala. That in that happiness is the expression of shukr to Allah Ta'ala for the ni'mah of Islam. We praise, we glorify Allah Ta'ala on the Eids for guiding us towards Islam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu ta'ala, great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is one of those honored. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to write letters of invitation to the surrounding empires and kings towards Islam, and said that do not forsake me in this task, as some of the followers of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam had forsaken him, sahaba, a sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, any person who harbors enmity, hatred, or even misgivings to a single sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is putting your iman in great detriment. Do not fall into that trap. So Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is amongst those who volunteered. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to one of the most difficult chores. The proud, arrogant emperor of Faris, of the Persian Empire, the Kisra, Khusru. And he comes to the court of Kisra with his very, very humble clothing, a shawl that was the sign of a person from the Bedouins, very thin, a coarse shawl. But the writer of a great book, Suwar min Hayat al-Sahaba, says, تَتَأَجَّجُ بَيْنَ جَنَاحِهِ قُوَّةُ الْإِيمَانِ, that iman was at its highest strength in between his ribcage, and his heart was brimming with the power of iman and the beauty of Islam. No inferiority complex, no compromise, no capitulation. In the emperor, in the presence of one of the biggest emperors of the world, the Kisra says arrogantly, that take that letter and pass it to me. He says, no, I've come all the way. My duty by my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to hand it in your hands, and I will do so exactly as per the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hands it over. When the Kisra listens just to 2 lines, that this is the letter from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the servant of Allah, the messenger of Allah Ta'ala, to Kisra, the king of Persia, he says, my slave, putting his name before mine in arrogance, he tears up the letter. When this is reported to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, very soon Allah Ta'ala will tear up his kingdom. And very soon thereafter, exactly as per the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who prophesied it happening on the night it happened, his very own son brutally murdered him. Kisra was murdered by his own son, Sherwe, brutally as a punishment for this disrespect shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter. He has the opportunity of interacting with another emperor, the Caesar, the Roman emperor, wanted to see for his own eyes the resilience of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is captured as a prisoner of war in the 19th year after Hijrah. He is brought to the Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, who says to him that I invite you to Christianity. You can go and lead a life of comfort, accept Christianity. 3 propositions, and look at his answer on each one. He says, what you are inviting me towards, dying 1,000 times is better. He tries another approach and says that fine, accept Christianity. I will make you my partner in my kingdom. You will be half the owner of this huge empire. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu says, give me your entire kingdom and the whole of Arabia. I will not leave the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen of Islam, even for a blink of an eye. He is then threatened, hung, arrows are shot at his hand and feet. A boiling pot of oil is brought. One of his companions are thrown alive into it. Shahadat, all that he sees are bones that are shining with the oil. He is threatened with the same punishment. And then he starts to cry. So they think finally he is broken. The Roman emperor asks him, have you finally been broken? Now will you accept Christianity? He says, never. I am more resilient. So he says, why do you cry? He says, I am crying because the thought came to my mind my life is about to go once and that is it. I cry and shed tears that I wish I had as many lives as the hairs on my body, and I can give each one of them as martyrdom for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. This is the love and the passion of Islam in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Finally, avoiding all non-Islamic ways, when Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in conquered Egypt, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, the conqueror, the Egyptians before that, on a certain day of celebration, would choose the most beautiful young girl, adorn her as a bride, put on a garland of flowers on her head, take her mid-current into the Nile and brutally drown her. And they thought this a sacrifice in lieu of which the Nile will give its water and inundations. They forbid this once Islam had conquered, that this is oppression. However, that year, the first test, the rains were delayed, the water, the inundations of the Nile was delayed. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu writes to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, who writes a letter back and commands Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, throw this into the river Nile, that this is from Umar ibn al-Khattab, the servant of Allah, Amir of the believers. O Nile, if you flow on your own accord, then we have no need for you. But if you flow with the command of Allah, then we command you as per the command and the will of Allah Ta'ala to flow. The moment this is thrown in, it inundates and flows more than it ever had been before. May Allah give us the yaqeen and the truth and the beauty of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. I'm going to request, inshallah, that we try and donate as generously as possible. The collections that take place, the house of Allah, the masjid and madrasa, generous contributions, that one means of showing our love and dedication, gaining the sweetness of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله عز وجل في السر والعلن، فإن الله يحب المتقين. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب، ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. أيها المسلمون، فلنشكر الله عز وجل على جميع نعمه، خصوصا نعمة الإيمان والإسلام الذي هدانا الله عز وجل به من فضله وكرمه من دون أي استحقاق منا. فإن الله عز وجل قال لحبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم عند وفاة أبي طالب بدون الإيمان: إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. وقال الله عز وجل: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وبين الله عز وجل أن النجاح في الدنيا والآخرة فقط في دين الإسلام قائلا: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ثلاث من كن فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان: من كان الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سوى، وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله، وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم، رواه البخاري. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد رسول الله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين والمجاهدين والمستضعفين والمظلومين في سبيلك في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم على أعدائك أعداء الدين اللهم فك أسار المسلمين الذين أسروا بغير حق إلا يقول ربنا الله اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان وخاصة في غزة وفي فلسطين عامة وفي الشام وفي مشارق الأرض ومغاربها اللهم انصرهم على أعدائك أعداء الدين اللهم عليك بالصهيونية الظالمة اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين وحرر المسجد الأقصى بفضلك يا أرحم الراحمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أتموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل Satan is filling the gaps between shoulders. Show that the heels are in a straight line. Once we're in the soft stand as close as possible, leave no gaps between ourselves. One of the great means of unity in the ummah is to stand as close as possible in salah without any gaps between ourselves in salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى اعتدلوا تراصوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر.
استغفر الله. استغفر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكنن من الخاسرين. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها، وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الكفر والفقر وعذاب القبر. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شؤوننا كلها ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي، وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه، وأصلح لي في ذريتي، إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. اللهم انصر المجاهدين والمستضعفين والمظلومين والمأسورين في سبيلك في كل مكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا، اللهم ارحم موتانا، اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وسكنهم في الجنة. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. جزى الله أن نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.